Hey everyone, this is Mark Bonner and you're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, brought to you in partnership with Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone struggling to cope. If life ever feels like it's getting too much, you can anonymously text 85258 anytime, day or night, and speak to a trained volunteer for mental health support. Enjoy the pod.
Long grind towards safety continues, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. The weather might still be cold outside, but we've got another weekly dose of hot takes to warm you up. I'm your host, Julian Roberts, and this week it's two games but just 1 point to review for the Ewes. And to help me pick through them, I'm joined by two stone-cold legends of the Abbey. First up, and hot off yesterday's trip to the Midlands, it's Mr. Thomas Walker. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. You've really overselling me there, I think.
It's a stone cold legend. I think you're doing yourself down, mate.
Yeah. No, I think people are going to be disappointed if this is their first listen.
And secondly, ready and armed with opinions of ice cold precision, it's Matt Caspel. How are you getting on, mate?
Wow. I'm doing good, thanks. Yeah, good to be back, and good to see you guys again.
We're going to come on to Matt's prediction at the end of the first part, which I think deserves a little bit of discussion. But before we do that, let's dive straight into two more games to review for the Ewes. Let's start where the game that no one really wants to talk about, but one that I think needs a little bit of discussion. It's one that's not going to live long in the memory, for the right reasons at least. It's a trip down to some scaffold site down in Kent. It's a late winner for Gillingham, saw United come away with nothing. I don't know about all you listeners, but I felt really quite dejected after this. We were chatting in the week and there was a lot of dejection going around from a lot of different outlets. Tom, 60% possession, but only one shot on target. Did it worry you on Tuesday night how tricky we found it to create any real chances?
Yeah, we were very poor. I guess probably ranks among, to be honest, it's probably the worst performance we put in since last time that we played Gillingham. At the Abbey, in which they beat us as well. You know, you caveat it by saying that we're playing a team who are, you know, on a bit of a bounce, having brought in a new manager. But we were pretty poor in the week at Gillingham, I think it's fair to say. All over the pitch as well. I think there's a period of time between probably about 35 and sort of 60, 70 minutes where, you know, we had more of the ball. But I wouldn't go as far as say that, you know, that we were controlling the game. And for all the possession that we had, it was pretty useless. I think very, very little creativity. You know, that speaks for itself. You know, just one shot on target is not the sort of attacking performance which is going to, you know, score your goals on a regular basis and kind of beat teams. And in a game like that where it's 0-0 going into the last sort of 10 or 15 minutes. You know, it takes one mistake, or in our case, one terribly defended set piece, and you know, you basically lost the game. And after the goal goes in, I think our efforts, if you like, to try and get back into the game were nothing short of quite laughable, to be honest. And I'm glad that we didn't record in the week after the pod, because I think it would have been probably maybe a bit too reactive and a bit too negative. Obviously, I'm glad that we've had the chance to watch us again and at least a better attacking performance where at Burton, but. Yeah, at Gillingham, it was very, very poor.
Yeah, we'll come on to that Burton game and everything that we did a lot better on Saturday than we did on Tuesday, but sort of taking Tuesday in isolation, Caspel Bonner said after the game that it was a really angry dressing room, and you could see that walking off the pitch. I remember seeing Sam Schering like absolutely fuming after the game. But what do you think he'd have found most disappointing about the performance? Is it that sort of not capitalising on the periods of possession that we had, which we might not have had control, because that's a strong word to use when you only have one shot on target. But there was clearly periods where we were on top in terms of possession. Or was it conceding late from such a poorly defended goal?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to start on this game rather than Burton, isn't it? And the good thing about Burton, obviously, which we'll come on to, is that it's kind of pushed the memory of Tuesday quite far away, which is a good thing. I think in terms of what we would be most disappointed about, I think it's probably the way the game actually changed when we took Liam O'Neill off. So they might actually, Bonner potentially have a little bit of some of that angle might be sort of inwardly facing directed towards almost himself. But it's tricky, right? Because myself, I'll admit, I'll put my hands up and pretty much all of us and everyone around us, everyone was pretty much asking for it, the same sort of change to get Lancaster on. But at that stage, it seemed to be absolutely crucial. We seemed to just completely lose control of the game. Sort of any piece of control that we had, we seemed to just really let it go at that point. And then, things got really difficult for us. So I don't think there's a world where you can make a case for us deserving to win that game. But it's one of those where you might look at it and think, based on how Gillingham performed generally, might feel like we perhaps could have won the game. So, all over disappointing, to be honest. I personally didn't feel any anger myself. I saw it from the players, but I was just, like you, I was just a bit crushed, to be honest, by it. I think it was probably the lowest point of the season, and hopefully it will be the lowest point of the season when we look back at it. We can laugh about it, maybe, if we can look back on that in May, and it's not been too damaging for us.
Yeah, it's a really good point about O'Neill going off as well, because it's something all season we've spoken about Bonner making subs too late. And the one game where he sort of makes a sub at like the sort of right time, it sort of works entirely against what he intended it to do. But let's move on to this Burton game, because it is hard to start with a Gillingham game where a lot of those memories have already been sort of pushed back just by a much better performance at Burton. Tom, I'm going to start with a question that I sort of hate asking, because I seem to ask it every time I'm on the pod. But I mean, was it 1 point gained, or was it two dropped?
Yeah, and I think just on the last time I was asked this question on the pod, I think I'm going to sit firmly on the fence.
As you always do.
Yeah. It's becoming quite a trend. Splinters, should we say.
In all the wrong places.
Yeah, in unwanted areas, which is never good. I'm really, really, well and truly going to sit on the fence here. I think there's two quite clear angles of looking at this. And the first one is that the first half in particular, we had some really good chances to almost put the game out of sight, I think. Obviously, the start to the game was as bad as you could possibly want.
It was almost laughable, wasn't it, that first
game? Like, I mean, I think there was plenty of people who were maybe just a little bit late kind of getting into the stands, who came and sort of stood around us, who genuinely, I don't think, believed us.
Friend of the pod, Mark Berry, arrived about 3 minutes late, and we were like, yeah, it's 1-0 Burton. He was like, yeah. Sure, it is.
And then it turned out to be true. Obviously, you know, not great defending, and to be fair to Mitov, very, very nearly managed to keep the penalty out. But I thought after that, it was basically all us. And maybe in a way, going behind in that sort of fashion early on, maybe just kind of put the boot up the arse that maybe sometimes you need, particularly in a situation where you may be staring sort of four straight defeats in the face. Really good equaliser from Nibs. Really, really clever and well-worked finish, actually. Something that we've, maybe not seen enough of from him over the years. But I think probably this year, since the sort of Pizza Trophy game against Portsmouth, what we're seeing is someone who's improved mostly sort of game on game and playing out of position. I think that's 7 goals in all competitions this season, which is pretty decent. But then it was kind of the exact opposite after that, when he had a really good chance. The ball came to him a little bit high, so maybe it's a bit harsh, but I think at this level, it's a chance that you would expect to be taken within, basically an empty net, albeit maybe one or two defenders sort of chasing back to get on the line. And then the one that I thought was really frustrating was just before half-time. We had a brilliant break and a brilliant counter. I don't think it was just a 2-on-1. I think there was like 3 or 4 people sort of rushing on. And the pass out wide was, firstly, I think the wrong pass. I think it was out wide to Brophy, was it?
Wes,
and it was overhit a little bit, and it just kind of forced us out wide and kind of killed the move off a little bit. So there were definitely times in the game where we, had the chances to go and score more goals. And in that sense, I think you can look at it as 2 points dropped, because, Burton were a pretty poor team, I thought, overall. And I guess it's one of those games where, even if you look at it in the sense that it's 2 points dropped, it kind of reassures you that if we're going to get relegated, like, we're going to have to be really, truly god-awful, because Burton are above us. And they look pretty bad. But then there's the other the kind of other way to look at it, going behind in the fashion that we did to get back into the game, to then concede a goal like that, which is, you know, in the sort of second phase after a set piece, not picking someone up unmarked on the edge of the area, albeit a very good finish and sort of through quite a crowd of bodies into the bottom corner, to pick yourselves up, go again and get another point. Again, in that situation, lesser teams than this and teams without the sort of fight and determination that we've got would simply have folded and lost that game, certainly 2-1, but maybe 3 and 4-1 as well. I think easy to look at it as two drop because they're pretty poor, but battling back from behind twice, I think is a point gained, and away from home, it stops the rot, if anything else. So I was fairly happy.
And the resilience is something that we've covered a lot, you know, of this team. It sort of goes unsaid now. But something that we definitely need to talk about, which was mentioned in the Gillingham game, something we did loads better, was creating chances. Just as you were talking there, Tom, there was a lot of nodding on the Zoom call from me and Casper when you mentioned that chance at the end of the first half. But Casper, as a question for you, have we found a way to score without Ironside? Is that what yesterday proves, that we found maybe different ways of playing? We caught them on the break a couple of times. Maybe it was using the pitch to our advantage a little bit. I'm thinking about that Nibs chance there. There was the conditions with the wind and the bounce sort of Brophy getting in behind. But do you think we found a different way of playing without Ironside to create chances?
I hope so. It certainly looked like we tried some different stuff again. And that's one thing I'll always say in Bonner's credit, is that when stuff isn't working, we're always there and he's always there trying to sort of take an alternative view. So some of the new stuff we saw yesterday, or stuff we certainly haven't seen a lot of, was, you know, Mitov, quick distribution, hitting Smith. Smith actually looks like a really good footballer if you put Mitov, actually great accuracy with the kicking. Putting the kicks literally right into Smith's chest, which I know Mitov has perhaps got some criticism before about some of the sort of non-shot stopping parts of the game. And actually, that was a little bit different. I don't think we've done a lot of quick distribution long this season, definitely, maybe short. And I don't know if we can say we necessarily solved it already, because I think it's conceivable that there might be a few more games where we draw a blank this season. But it was really encouraging. I actually think Nibs had one of his best games in a United shirt there. His finish is outstanding, and he assists Smith's goal as well. Just wins a header actually in the box, quite combative. So a lot to like there. I won't go over it too much, but Tom's raised it there. He just hit the ball far too early and on the volley when a bit more composure was needed, and he sent it well over the bar. And then Smith's done really well. I think obviously tough for him because Nibs's goal is really, truly outstanding. But Smith's goal looks way better on the highlights than it did from the away end. I had no idea who had done what and what had actually happened. But the way he sort of turned on it and then actually volleyed it in the corner as well. I can't remember last time he scored two volleys in a game. But it's nice to see. So hopefully this is the start of something, and actually we're starting to figure out ways of scoring goals. It's never good in any team to have too much of a reliance on any one player, because we've seen this season, particularly with all the injuries we've had, it can just be taken away from you. So let's hope this is the start of something. Let's hope that Nibs and Smith between them can keep scoring goals and keep us sort of pushing along.
Yeah, that Nibs goal looked from the away end just like a bit of a bundle, didn't it? It looked like he just sort of poked one home. I mean, I had no idea what happened, but yeah, it's a really smart finish. I sort of thought they both had really good games yesterday. And something we were talking about after Tuesday was, I'd love to have seen Nibs actually start up top and swap them round, play Smith in that sort of right-hand side position he's been used to playing in. But Nibs showed yesterday how good he can be out there, especially going forward. He had a brilliant game, but there was a few other standout performers. Let me start at the back. Let's start with Sam Schering, Tom, who I thought was outstanding yesterday. Are you impressed with how he started his United career in general?
Yeah, he's done well. He's slotted in well in not an easy situation, I think. And it's quite good as well, because what would we do if he was terrible? It wouldn't be that reassuring. But yeah, he's. Yeah.
Imagine signing a lone player in January who was quite terrible. That wouldn't be us, surely. Anyway, continue.
No, that's a dig. That's not needed at this stage of the season. We're doing okay. I think he's sort of done well, to be fair. Had to wait, well, obviously for his chance, sort of with a decent run of games for a little while, but it's come up, and hopefully now, you know, they'll obviously have, you know, kind of the full week off, and he's not so much learning on the job, but hopefully he can kind of get to know Okadine a little bit more sort of on the training pitch. And by the time that, you know, the next sort of run of games comes around, he'll be really, you know, well and truly bedded in. So yeah, I think he started pretty well. Clearly the goals were poor goals from a team perspective. The first one just a long punt up the pitch and the other one's from a corner, but neither of them were sort of individually attributed to sharing, I don't think, probably more Okadine and the sort of general defensive setup. But yeah, I think he started pretty well and happy that he's sort of growing into the game a bit more, growing into the team, I should say.
Someone else, Kasper, who had a brilliant game yesterday, often sort of overlooked in this United side. It does a lot of the dirty work. It's Paul Digby. Is a brilliant nod back to Nibs for the first goal, but it wasn't just that yesterday. He had a great game.
The digger in true digger style. Maybe that's his kind of pitch. I don't know, but yeah, I think he had a really good game. He's breaking up play a lot. Actually, the first goal I was watching the highlights back. He starts the move as well. He actually starts it and basically tees it up for Nibs. So it's harsh on him, isn't it, in a way? Everyone's really noticed him because he's kind of contributed to, and assist and been involved in the goal. But he was just absolutely brilliant yesterday, really sort of pushing us along. I mean, I know it's still a draw away at Burton, so we'll keep your feet on the ground. But in a game when we needed to show a lot of character, you need people like that to step up, and he really did. And there were others all over. I mean, Schering was brilliant. I thought Nibs was outstanding as well. The Digger's done really well, one of his best games. Harrison Dunk was outrageous. I know, again, we've conceded two goals, but some of his body on the line defending, that block he did towards the end was absolutely critical. The guy's just relentless, isn't he? He's been doing it for over a decade now, which is amazing. James Brophy had a great game as well. So it's like you suddenly find yourself actually naming like 6-7 players, yeah, and suddenly almost praising the entire team. So we didn't get the 3 points, but actually there was quite a lot to be encouraged by, and it's a really good rebound from us after Tuesday, where as we say, things were pretty flat. So good to see. I think
Brophy had United favourite Tommy Hamer on toast for a lot of the game, actually. So it's good to point him out. There's also, while we're talking about specific performances, if you haven't seen the clip of Wes diving past about 6 or 7 Burton players from the edge of his own box and starting a move, it is well worth seeking out on Twitter. Let's sort of take this picture a little bit more general. First of all, Tom, is it a bit too simplistic to say that with Iredale and Ironside, would have won at least one, if not both, of those games?
No, I don't think so. I think to say that if you bring in two of your more important players who have contributed, you know, Ironside obviously to a lot of goals and Iredale to a lot of the good defensive work that we've done across the season, I think it's fair to say that we might have been able to muster ourselves a goal at Gillingham and maybe just kind of edge the game at Burton. I guess in that respect, I think it's true to say that if we had one or both of those fit, then we might have won one more game. But I would say maybe it is maybe a little bit simplistic just to say that if you have all your injured players back, you might do better, because that's sort of that kind of goes for every team in the league, I guess. But I think the sort of overall point, if I may assume so, is that we're maybe not that far away from being quite, a very decent, very comfortable team at this level. I think that's true.
Yeah, that is the point. Thanks for that. Great. Summarised perfectly. Let's go even more general now. So let's go to this prediction that I mentioned in the intro. Matt Caswell said to me, I think it was just before the Lincoln game, that by Burton away, we'll be 8 points off relegation. And we are currently 8 points off relegation. We've done it in a bit of a weird way, I would say. Let me ask you this question. If you swap the Lincoln result and the Gillingham result around, do you think you'd be looking at all of it quite differently?
I think what you also have to remember is that a few weeks ago on the pod, I predicted that we'd start Salima Kambi and Barry Corr up front.
There's still time, Matthew.
Which could still happen. And if it does happen, then we need to play the Euro Millions, I think. I mean, it's just one of those things. To be honest, at the time, I think we were we've been struggling a bit with our form generally. I can't remember if this before after Newcastle, but it was around the start of the year when obviously we come off that really hard patch of games. The prediction was probably pretty flippant, to be honest. It was more just about having confidence that we were going to put enough points together to be in a decent position. But it has kind of played out quite nicely. I think in terms of if you flip to the results, a really interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know really is the sort of honest answer.
It's one of those though, because if you look at so you're expecting to beat Crewe and Doncaster, right? A point at Fleetwood and a point at Burton is no bad results, right? Bolton are on the sort of form run that they're on Tuesday night. That's tough. Like they're a good side. And then you've just got these two results. That's sort of where my head's at with it. It's like, there's two results. If you concede a late goal at Lincoln and lose 1-0, but then score a last minute goal at Gillingham. I don't know. Like all I'm saying is like, there's no reason at the moment to be as down in the dumps as like I have been this week, for example. It's just, you know, it's one result we can take in isolation.
Yeah, I mean, we're higher in the form table than Sunderland, and we're higher in the form table than a lot of other teams around us. The bottom four of the form table is Crewe, Doncaster, Morecambe and Wimbledon, and they're all also behind us in the league table. So, yeah, I think it's really easy. I mean, I just think Gillingham was just super flat and just a really hard. It's just hard to see us concede a late goal and just not compete perhaps the way we did. But, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe if you swap them around, you sort of feel a bit more pragmatic. And obviously, we'd gained a real advantage over, I guess, Gillingham, which is a good thing. But just honestly, I think the closer you get to the end of the season, the less and less you care about almost the performances or who you pick the points up off. Although I will caveat by saying, please, can we go to Ipswich and win? That would just be good fun all round. But it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, look, it's another game gone. Still plenty to come, but luckily we don't have a Tuesday night this week. We'll talk about that in 1 second. But before that, Accrington have got the fifth worst away record in the league. They've only won 3 out of 14. The only teams that are actually better than away from home are the bottom four and Shrewsbury. So it's clearly they've built their season on their home form. It's a very, very difficult place to go. They've taken points off lots of teams. I think they've got the fifth best home form in the league, which is quite impressive. Our home form has been decent enough all season. Tom, do you think this is a great opportunity to bag a win, looking at all of that?
Yeah, I think so. But looking less at Accrington and looking more at the fact that we've actually got a rest for the first time in about 10 years, that's probably more important, I think, than anything. It doesn't need me to say and sort of repeat that the run of games we've been on probably since about October has been absolutely relentless. Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. Other than enforced break, in which a lot of our players had coronavirus, which I guess isn't too pleasant and probably doesn't help too much with feeling well-rested. I think it's a really good opportunity for 3 points. It's now kind of getting to that stage of the season, like Caspar said just a moment ago, that you don't really care where you get your points, but especially if you start to like win these games, it's such a huge chunk towards survival now, because like we're not that far away realistically. I think, bearing in mind that the teams in the bottom four are like, I don't think they're going to get to 50 points. Like Morecambe would need to do quite significantly more than a point per game. You know, you can forget about Crewe and Donny now, and Gillingham are really outsiders in terms of actually getting to anywhere near 40, 45 points. So it's a really good opportunity to kind of get a massive chunk of the way to sort of where we want to be. We played Accrington, obviously, right at the start of the season. And I think it was still at a period of time where we didn't really know what to expect from the team. And, you know, I think they went 2-0 up relatively quickly. And we thought like, oh, wow, like we're like miles away from these guys. And sort of by the end of the game, we were quite frustrated not to get something out of it. So I think in terms of the quality in the two sort of respective squads, it's pretty similar. And at our place, I'd like to think that we can sort of exert the sort of dominance and sort of control on the game that might see us win it. And I think there's a pretty good chance that we can do that. They're a pretty notable team at this level because of the way that they've kind of survived every year and seem to be pretty comfortable and sort of pretty solid League One team now. I guess they're in a similar position to ourselves, and they're just kind of trying to pick up enough points to really kind of confirm survival and then see what else they can do. So I think it's a good opportunity, and hopefully we can sort of win the game.
I find it interesting playing like Burton and Accrington, because they're two sides that we can sort of look up to and aspire to in a couple of years, right? Like two small sides, two of the sides smaller than us in the division, two of the few, who have just established themselves as really decent League One sides now. And it's interesting to see how they both do that. Accrington obviously building on their home form. So Caswell, Tom mentioned their first week this year, which I couldn't believe when I saw in the running order, but it is true, without a midweek game. How big a difference do you think that that will make?
Yeah, I think, I mean, to be honest, it's as much time as we can take now to get more people back fit. I think we've complained enough on the podcast, and everyone has complained as a fan base enough about no updates on injuries. People probably seem to make their peace with it, to be honest. It isn't, we're not going to get the update. Players are just going to appear in the squad, I think it's more likely. You know, that gap is nice, gives me hope. Maybe it'll be Shiloh, maybe it'll be Lloyd-Jones, maybe some, you know, just anyone, to be honest. It'll just be encouraging to see them come back into the squad. Bonner said in his interview, it meant the players would get Sunday and Monday off, which for them, I imagine, is just genuinely nice. I know, obviously, being a professional footballer probably is a fairly sort of, is probably quite a nice existence generally in terms of the working patterns, but I imagine they've all been traveling. Well, we know they've been traveling a lot and they've been training a lot and they've just haven't really had any proper downtime. I think, I mean, also just being more realistic, that probably means on Saturday night, they're actually allowed to go and maybe have a beer, which they might not have been able to do all year so far. So it's like, it's even that simple stuff that can just make quite a big difference. I think just give people a bit of relaxation. I'm glad the two games have happened the way around they did. It'd be a shame if it was Burton performance and then Gillingham going into a week off. We've just taken something positive into that sort of, well, say a week off, obviously week off games. And hopefully it means someone gets back fit and everyone comes back to Tuesday and they're maybe just a little bit more rested and a little bit more ready to go, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's obviously this Tuesday off and then there's Saturday, Tuesday. But then March is much, much clearer. There's only we're just playing on Saturdays in March, which is going to it's going to feel amazing, I'm sure, for them and even for us and for my bank balance, to be honest. But another point that we spoke about yesterday, Tom, which I think is worth a couple of minutes discussion just to sort of wrap things up, is obviously let's take the last two, right? We've talked about, is it points dropped or is it a point? I put 1 point out of six, right? Has it been a bad week for United, essentially? Let me put this opinion to you, right? Considering our injury hit squad at the moment, we've got what you'd argue six first team players out of the squad. I know some are long term injuries, but you'd argue there's six first team players out of the squad, and we put in a couple of let's say subpar performances, or we've got a couple of results that maybe you're not entirely happy with, but we still kept that 8 point gap, and it's just another game gone, and that point in return per game you mentioned there with teams below us, it's starting to become a bigger and bigger ask for all these clubs. They've got to be really good now. And there's a lot of teams still between us and them, right? Weirdly, is it actually quite a good time to play these sorts of games where we're getting, you know, nabbing points against fine, weaker opposition? But when we play these stronger teams in March, it's then that you want your players back from injury. So what I'm saying is I'm trying to be incredibly positive. But actually, if you want to be injury hit, you want to be injury hit now, not in March. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do see what you mean. I guess you can couple that with the sort of fixtures that we've got in March and in April. You kind of want your players back for that. And hopefully that's sort of where we're going to be. You'd definitely be rather a sort of attacking Sheffield Wednesday away, Ipswich away, Sunderland away, etc., with a fully fit squad to choose from rather than maybe these games where we can kind of get through it and kind of pick up points. You know, Gillingham, you know, we've spoken about, is obviously disappointing, but yeah. Other than a very, very poorly defended corner, we probably sneak out of that with a point and it all looks, you know, kind of fairly rosy. I think specifically if you look at the next two, two games at the Abbey, I think we're really in that sort of territory where, like, if you're taking like 1.5 points at home per game, so let's say we win it against Accrington, like, it just takes so much pressure off that Plymouth game. And that's not to say, you know, that we just, you know, throw it and move on to the next Saturday game, of course, but we are very much at a point in the season now where even if you can consider Crewe and Doncaster still being in the shout for survival, which they're not, let's be quite clear. Put it this way. So Crewe and Doncaster are now, what, 16 points behind us, respectively. Their goal differences are like way, way off. So you can call it 17 points behind us. If we get another 5 points, they've then got to get the same points total in like, well, 15 and 14 games respectively, as they have all season. It's just not going to happen. And that's if we get 5 points. So that's what, like, we could feasibly get that in the next two games, and that basically writes them off, you know, entirely beyond any question, I think. It's obviously not going to happen, you know, that they're going to catch us, basically, even if we are genuinely shambolic for the rest of the season. Gillingham, similar, albeit they've kind of got the context of having a new manager in and sort of attacking the, you know, attacking the rest of the season with hopefully some sort of upward mobility for them. But they've left themselves, again, like, quite a lot of work to do. So, yeah, I think any, you know, in terms of like a points return for the rest of the season, like, I think Julian, you said it right at the start of the season. If we have 53 points, we'll stay up. That's now a point per game for the rest of the season. That's got to be the target, I think.
Yeah, that's it. And perspective is important, which is sort of what I'm trying to say, that it's like, fine, they might not be the results that you wanted or maybe even expected, especially the Gillingham one. But look, let's look at the bigger picture here. Right. Let's wrap things up. Tom, what's your prediction for the Accrington game?
2-0 Cambridge. God, I reckon.
You've got to love that sort of optimism, haven't you?
Do you know what? I'm going to have exactly the same goal scorers, the Nibbler and Sam Smith.
Right. With the Nibbles with another little bike here?
Yeah. I'm going to go full on cliche there and say, I don't think he'll care how it comes, even if it bounces in the yard. I think he'll take it.
You're not sitting on the fence of that one, boy. Casper, what about you?
Yeah, I was thinking 2-0 as well. I'm going to go, I'll say Adam May, long ranger, because that's all he knows. It won't be as happening. Let's go for like a beastly Sam sharing back post header or something like that. Something that we just generally don't really do. Why not?
Yeah. The problem with that is it would require a decent set piece, which hasn't been a strong point.
Our goals against Burton, that's all. Second one's from a corner. It's a bit messy,
That's true. I'm being harsh.
It's good crosses into the box as well. But yeah, no. Let's go for a. I'm really testing this prediction capability now.
I'll go 2-1 United. But also a Sam Sharon goal. I had that in my mind as well. Right, boys. Thanks very much. Make sure if you're listening to subscribe wherever you get your pods. We've still got the mental health podcast as well. Which I put together recently, which is well worth a listen, in my humble opinion. Some great voices on there aside from my own. There's Dion Dublin, Luke Chadwick and Mark Bonner, other assorted legends. Casper, thanks very much, mate.
Thanks very much, chat. See you soon.
Tom, pleasure as always.
Yeah, indeed. All mine.